Hello, everybody, and welcome back. I just wanted to make a brief announcement. Rose Malek has released the second book in the Tales from the Land of Calder series, Dreams of Darkness. It was just released this past week, and you can find it on Amazon. You can find a link to both books in the description of the podcast. Okay, let's get into it. Chapter 4, Journey Through Fathalas. Vala woke to a sharp snap. It sounded as if someone had broken a large branch. Looking down, she realized that was exactly what had happened. Varun had gathered some large sticks sometime during the night and had started breaking them into manageable pieces, preparing to build a fire. The clearing had filled with thick, heavy fog, obscuring her view. The sun hadn't risen yet. Looking around at her group, she could see that Talmer and Caelith were also awake, still perched on the thick tree boughs. Trying to get a better result than the previous night, Varun breathed fire on the pile of sticks, controlling the flame so it caught the pieces of wood without instantly burning them up. Vala watched as he added larger branches to the fire, slowly coaxing the small flame to catch bigger pieces until it was thriving without direct attention. It glowed brightly in the gray pre-dawn light, casting ripples of light across his brassy scales as he stepped back to admire the flames. Talmer slid down from the tree, grabbed his pack, and rummaged in it for a moment. He pulled out a small teapot, a water skin, and a small cloth bag. He filled the pot with water and a handful of something from the bag, presumably tea leaves. He put the empty water skin back in his bag and, using a stick to keep from touching the flames, set the pot in the fire. Damien and Beodin sat leaning against the tree roots, and Vala was fairly sure that the dwarf had gone back to sleep. She slid down the tree and joined the group around the fire. They sat in silence for a while, the only noises being the dwarf snoring and the crackling of the flames. Vala stared up at the leafy branches of the oak tree. She let her mind wander, barely even paying attention to her own thoughts as she slowly pulled her long white hair into a braid. She was snapped back to reality by a sharp hiss of steam. The teapot had boiled over and was spilling hot liquid onto the flames. Shoot! Talmer began scrambling for the stick he had used to put it into the fire so he could get it out, but Varun beat him to it. He reached directly into the fire, grabbed the teapot, and set it on a nearby rock. He didn't seem bothered by the heat at all. "Do you have to be reckless?" the Wood Elf commented. "You're going to get hurt pretty soon."
"I think the word you're looking for is dumb, not reckless,"
Caelith, still up in the tree, quipped.
"I'm fine."
The Thrakai held out his hand, proving to Talmer and Caelith that he was truly uninjured. The Wood Elf sighed and, after it had cooled slightly, pulled off the lid and glanced inside, checking to see just how much tea had been spilled into the flames. Apparently satisfied with the amount he saw, he set the lid next to the teapot and went back to digging in his bag, trying to find a cup. Caelith dropped from the tree, landing lightly. She was now wearing beige leggings and long-sleeved maroon tunic that was still too fancy for their current surroundings, and a pair of warm brown boots that reached her mid-calf. She didn't say anything to the group, but she did smile at Talmer. He smiled back, handing her a cup of tea. Damien shuffled over to the group, still half asleep, and sat down next to Vala. He ran a hand through his dark, tousled hair, messing it up even more, and smiled tiredly at her. She could tell he wasn't trying to flirt with her this time. He was just being friendly. He rested his forearms on his knees, cradling a mug of tea that Talmer had handed him. He looked like he wanted to fall asleep again. Caelith glanced at Beodin, then walked over and nudged the dwarf's shoulder with the toe of her boot. Beodin snapped awake, glaring, and she laughed slightly.
"Come on, wake up, it's morning."
"It's still dark," the dwarf grumbled.
"Doesn't change the fact that it's morning."
"Go away!"
"Not happening. Get up."
"Caelith!"
"Get up!"
She nudged him again, grinning. He rolled his eyes and sat up, annoyed, then came over to join the others after another nudge from the elf. The group sat for a few minutes, sipping the tea and talking quietly. Caelith grabbed a handful of ration packs and started to pass them out. Each was a small, leather-wrapped bundle packed tightly to keep out rain and other unwanted things. Vala unwrapped hers, peeling away the leather and revealing four smaller, individually wrapped bundles of fabric. She pulled open the largest one, finding a piece of trail bread, a hard, tasteless bread that would keep for months. The next package contained a few strips of jerky. The next one held a piece of cheese that had been carefully preserved so it wouldn't mold. The last pack held some piece of dried fruit. After a while, they started getting ready to break camp. There wasn't much to pack up except for the things they'd used for breakfast. Being adventurers, they were used to only using what they had in order to make packing everything up faster. Talmer untied the lantern and lowered it to the ground while Vala and Beodin kicked out the fire, scattering the ashes so it wouldn't light again. The sun was rising as they set off again, but the fog stayed thick and heavy. They walked through the thick trees, which eventually grew so close together they could barely force their way through. Beodin wasted little time cutting through some of the thicker undergrowth, which greatly helped their progress, and the group continued. Eventually they reached a small road. Vala winced at the bright light as they stepped out from the shade of the forest. She was used to it, but it still hurt her light-sensitive eyes. She tugged her hood up to block a little of the glare. Talmer stopped at the edge of the road, pulling out the map. "This is the road to Fathalas," he said, laying a finger on the map. "We could have taken the road the whole way there, but as you can see here, it loops around to another small town, which would have delayed us. I doubt any of the towns around here have been taken over yet, but I don't think we should risk it. From here, we should be able to get to Fathalas in under an hour. There, we can find warmer gear and maybe some more information about this group."
"There were shops back in Terran," Beodin commented, indicating the last town they'd been in. "Why didn't we just pick something up there?"
"Two reasons," Talmer explained. "Firstly, because Fathalas has better supplies than Terran, although most items are a bit more expensive. And secondly, because all of us were a bit too distracted by the assassins to remember that a few of us need to get winter gear."
"We're wasting daylight," Kayla said. "We should get going."
Fathalas was a small town, but busy. People were tending fields, minding shops, and bustling around. The fields were outside the town, and they bordered the road for about half a mile. Harvest was coming to a close, but there were still many workers collecting the last of the crops and preparing sections of land for the spring. Most of the people she saw were human, but there were also many halflings and elves. At the end of the main road, right before the town officially began, stood a young man holding a pitchfork. He blocked the group as they tried to enter the town.
"Welcome to Fathalas, strangers," he greeted, standing up tall and trying to make himself look intimidating. "Who are you, and what's your business here?"
"We are just a group of travelers looking to buy supplies, sir," Varun said.
"We'd appreciate it if you'd step aside and let us through," Beodin added when the guard didn't move.
"I can't let just anyone in," the guard protested, trying to put a sense of authority into his voice. "How am I supposed to know you aren't going to cause trouble here? All of you are armed and heavily at that, too heavily for a group of travelers. It's pretty suspicious if you ask me. Also, who's she? The one who's hiding her face in a hood? You better start talking, huh? Whatever you are."
Vala shifted a little uncomfortably. She knew he was talking about her.
"We are armed because the road is dangerous," Varun explained. "And she is none of your concern."
"Are you trying to hide a criminal?"
The guard shot a suspicious glance across the group.
"Hey, if you're escorting a noble, you don't just tell the world about it," Damien remarked. "Do you think we want every scumbag in Calder trying to get their hands on her?"
"Her father requested that she should be transported as subtly as possible," Talmer lied.
"But he also asked that we arrive as quickly as possible. I doubt you want to be the reason my lady was delayed, do you?"
I'm sorry, I didn't know," the guard stammered. "You're just carrying a lot of weapons, so I assumed you were mercenaries, that's all."
"We're just here to keep her safe," Beodin said. "I'm sure you can understand that."
"Sorry," the guard said again.
"I promise it won't happen again."
He lowered the pitchfork, looking cowed, and stepped out of the road. Many people stopped to stare at the group as they passed, but no one seemed hostile. Vala pulled her hood farther over her face, not wanting to attract any more attention than they were already getting. She felt like everyone was watching her.
"Why did you do that?"
she asked Damien once they were out of the earshot of the guard.
"Why did you lie for me?"
"Why not?"
We need you. Besides, it was the first thing I could think of, he answered. I didn't know if he was going to let us in, so I just tried something. I'm glad everyone else went with it, or we could have been in big trouble. Besides, he flashed her another flirty smile, I can't take you out if you get locked up, can I? She could tell he was teasing her. Caleth rolled her eyes and smacked his shoulder.
Goddess, you're hopeless.
The town was a busy but happy place. Most of the townsfolk greeted each other with smiles, waves, and cheerful remarks. Among the many humans, elves, and halflings, she noticed a few dwarves and a half-orc as they walked through the town. The main road through Fethalis acted as a marketplace, with a few farmers tending stalls of fresh produce, peddlers displaying wares, and people wandering back and forth. All the buildings along the streets were shops. Vala guessed that this was the center of business in the town. Pretty soon, the group found a clothing shop. It appeared clean and well-stocked. Behind the counter stood a blonde, slightly scrawny young man who looked to be in his late 20s.
Hello. Welcome to Arvin's Apparel, he greeted cheerily. Please, look around. See if you find something you like. If you need any help, just ask.
Vala acknowledged him with a nod and glanced around the shop. The clothing on the walls and shelves was good quality and thoroughly organized. In no time, she found a fur-lined cloak and thick, warm gloves. Once everyone who needed to buy something had their things, Beodin pulled Vala aside.
Hey, you're a stealthy type, right? He whispered. Feel like helping me out?
How?
Maybe get me a little 5-finger discount?
What do you mean?
Vala asked, even though she knew exactly what he meant. She wasn't sure how she felt about it. She'd been a thief for years and was good at it, too. She just didn't know how she felt about being asked to steal something.
I'll pay for the goods, including yours, then you steal back the money. Does that sound good?
She hesitated for a moment, looking at the rest of the group. She had a feeling Varun and Talmer would not be happy about the plan, and Damien and Caleth may not exactly approve either. Still, she wasn't planning to be seen and could probably snag a bit of gold for herself while she was at it. Also, it would mean she would get her gear for free.
All right, sure, she shrugged. If you keep him distracted, this should be easy.
He grinned, then offered to pay for the gear. He got a couple of surprised glances from other members of the group, but no one questioned it or tried to stop him. Beodin distracted the clerk by loudly announcing he'd seen better quality wares for a lower price. The clerk tried to defend his goods, saying that they were the best in all the nearby towns. Vala got to work, doing what she had done for most of her life, while Beodin tried to talk his way into a lower price. She slipped behind the counter, staying low to avoid being seen. As she moved behind the clerk, she slipped her hand into his pocket, carefully retrieving his coin purse. He had no idea. She didn't need the money, but she wasn't going to pass up an opportunity when one presented itself. After talking the clerk into the best deal he was likely going to get, Beodin paid him. The clerk quickly counted the coins, ensuring that he'd been paid the correct amount, then put the money into one of the drawers behind his counter. He locked it quickly, making Vala's job much harder, but she wasn't about to give up. She pulled a set of lockpicks from a pouch on her belt. She very slowly let out a breath as she slipped her picks into the lock and began feeling for the tumblers. It was a simple lock, and she had it open in only a few quick motions. But knowing that she was doing this with the clerk not 3 feet from her was nerve-wracking. Each second was another chance for him to catch her. He didn't catch her, though. She felt the last tumbler click into place, carefully turned the lock, and pulled the drawer open just enough to reach inside and grab Beodin's money. Then she crept back around the counter and moved to stand behind the group as though she'd never left. As the party turned to leave, Beodin caught her eye and raised an eyebrow at her. She nodded, pressing his money into his hand, and he slipped her a few silver pieces as payment for the act. The winter gear went into their bags, since it was still fairly warm for the typically cold land. Vala tried to pick a few more pockets as they walked through the town, but all she found were a few copper pieces. Varun, Beodin, and Caleth asked a few of the shop owners they passed about the group they were tracking, but no one they asked seemed to have heard of them. Damien tried unsuccessfully to flirt with a few of the female shopkeepers until Caleth made him stop. It did work in the human's favor a few times, since he was able to get a couple of women talking quite easily, but it annoyed Caleth to no end.
As they walked, Vala couldn't shake the strange feeling of being watched, but it was stronger now than it had been when they first came into town. Sensing eyes on her, she turned suddenly but found no one there. A flash of movement caught her eyes as something disappeared around a corner, and she was about to follow but thought better of it. She didn't want to get herself into unnecessary trouble. She trailed behind the group for a few more minutes, still feeling watched. Again, she whirled around and this time caught a glimpse of a person following them. She couldn't make out any details, but she saw a flash of black and dark blue as they disappeared again. "What's wrong?" Talmer asked, coming up beside her.
"Nothing. I just thought I saw someone," she said, brushing off the question. "Let's keep going."
Still feeling uneasy, she decided to help with the questions. She selected an elderly man sitting next to a cart of vegetables.
"Good afternoon, miss," he said as she approached. "What can I get you?"
"Information," she answered, her tone unintentionally curt.
"Oh, right then," he said, slightly taken aback. "I don't have much of that myself, but I might know a thing or two. What would you like to know?"
"Have you seen anyone unusual around here recently?" she asked, trying to curb her rough tone.
"Unusual? Well, there's plenty of unusual folks round here."
He paused, thinking, then continued.
"There's old Bob the miller. He's about as cracked as they come, completely off his rocker, I tell you. There's also Marv. She used to work in an alchemist shop. Nowadays, people say she's really a wicked hag, always staying locked up at her house, never seeing visitors, except a few folks who come and go at night, but that's just a rumor."
"Anyone who looks strange?"
Vala asked, already a bit tired of the conversation.
"Like people who clearly aren't from here."
"Well, there's that big scaly fella. We don't see his kind round here much."
The man pointed a little way down the street to the rest of Vala's group.
"Other than that, not many strange folks like the type you're asking about, miss."
"Okay."
Vala was about to turn away when the old man held up a finger to stop her.
"Well, come to think of it, there was that demon boy, but that was a few days ago."
"Demon boy?"
Vala asked, her curiosity piqued.
"Black hair, dark blue skin. Had them horns curving back from his forehead. Not something you'd think you'd see here in a small town such as this. I'd never seen anyone like him. Young-looking fella, maybe late teens or early 20s, but it was hard to tell with him. I don't know who he was or where he come from, but he just showed up a couple days ago walking down the street. I think he saw me staring at him because he disappeared down an alley. I ain't seen him since. You best be careful, miss, because either I'm going crazy or that creature's out there somewhere."
"Thank you for the information,"
Vala said, about to walk away again.
"Tell me if you see anything else."
"Will do, miss. I'm not quite sure where to find you, though."
"I'll be back later,"
Vala lied, realizing the accidental slip.
"Keep an eye out."
She wasn't quite sure he'd seen an actual demon, but she believed he'd seen someone. She'd been called a demon or a monster more times than she could count, so she'd learned not to believe every story, but she started looking around for anything out of place. As she walked back to the group, she scanned the alleys and side streets, but she didn't see anyone. She decided to keep the information to herself until she found out a bit more. The group was nearing the edge of the street by the time she caught up.
"Find anything out?" she asked.
Not yet," Damien answered. "That's not too surprising, though. Most of these people don't pay attention to what's going on right under their noses. There's not much in this town, but I did hear that there's a decent tavern. Maybe we should stop for a drink there sometime. Just you and me."
He gave her a teasing smile, and the group continued through the town. Once they left the main road, the town was far less busy. There were houses, a few smaller shops, and a handful of people wandering around. But Fathalas was a fairly small place. They reached the edge of the town and were about to make their way closer to the wide river that flowed past Fathalas when two young children stopped them, a girl and a boy. The girl appeared to be about 7,
and the boy looked no older than four.
"Can you help us find our parents?"
the older one begged, with tears brimming in her large gray eyes.
"We're lost and don't know where to go."
"Of course we can help you," Damien offered. "Where did you see your parents last?"
"Damien, bad idea,"
Beodin whispered, but the kid was already pointing back to the village.
"My mommy was in the market,"
the girl said, already perking up slightly.
"She was looking at flowers."
"How long has it been since you saw them?" Damien asked. "An hour? Two?"
"I don't know,"
the girl said, glancing up a bit warily at the well-armed group surrounding her.
"I was looking at a lizard I found, and when I looked up, Mommy and Daddy were gone. It was a really big lizard. You should have seen it."
As Damien continued talking with the young girl, trying to get her to talk about her parents rather than the lizard, the four-year-old wandered over to Vala. She glanced up at him and tugged her pant leg.
"You're going to help me find Mommy,"
he said hopefully.
"Right?"
Yes, Vala answered. "Of course we are." She knelt, not knowing what to do. The kid reached out to grab her, and she tried to fend him off without hurting him, but he wrapped his arms around her, tucking his head on her shoulder.
"I missed Mommy,"
he murmured.
"When are we going to find her?"
"We'll find her soon," Vala assured him, tentatively stroking his hair.
"Don't worry."
Beodin smirked, seeing her obvious discomfort. Pulling back from the hug, the kid squinted at her, trying to see her face. She pulled her hood down a bit farther, not wanting to scare him. She was pretty confident that he couldn't see the violet glint of her eyes or the color of her skin in the shadow, but she didn't want to take a chance. He tried to pull it off, but got a hold of the end of her braid instead. He looked confused, glancing at his sister's brown hair, then back at Vala's white hair.
"Your hair's supposed to be like this?"
Yes, it is," Vala said cautiously.
"Why?"
Because I was born like this?"
"Why?"
"I don't know." She freed it from his grasp, tucking it back in her hood. He snuggled up to her again, holding on tighter this time and nestled into the crook of her arm. She felt something brush against her back, but she guessed it was just the kid. She could feel his fingers creeping up her spine and grimaced, not comfortable with the contact. Too late, she realized his hand had been edging toward her hood. He sat up on her lap, triumphantly pulling the hood off. Vala wished that she'd pulled her mask on, but it would only hide the lower half of her face, so it wouldn't be much use. His large eyes widened and he stepped back slowly. He was confused, but not immediately terrified. The older girl gasped, seeing that Vala was a Dumarin, but she tried to hide it as her eyes flicked to something near Caelith. Vala turned and saw a skinny, unkempt boy in tattered black clothes trying to steal from the Marianan. He snatched a handful of coins from a pouch on her belt, but Caelith saw the girl look and spun, turning to face the thief. The boy ran, pocketing the coins. Vala turned to chase him, but he vaulted over a high fence, intent on escaping. Having climbed more than a few fences herself, Vala effortlessly followed him. The irony of the situation was not lost on her. Usually, she was the thief being chased through the streets, not the pursuer. She heard two people land next to her and saw that Talmer and Caelith had followed her. They chased the boy down a few streets until he turned down a narrow alley and disappeared through a small hole in a stone wall, half hidden by old rubbish. Vala tried to pull herself through, but had to yank her hand back quickly to keep her fingers from being crushed as something large and heavy slammed down, blocking the opening. Knowing that continuing the pursuit was useless, they walked back to the rest of the group, who were all quickly realizing they had been stolen from. Vala felt for her coin purse, but it had been taken. Luckily, she had several pouches on her belt, and the one that held her lockpicks and other thieving tools hadn't been snatched. But she'd lost nearly 100 silver pieces and a good handful of gold pieces.
"Stupid kid got his good," Beodin grumbled. "The other two were probably in on it."
"Where are the other two?" Vala asked, looking around.
"They gave us the slip right after you ran off. The girl tried to spin some lie about how she suddenly saw her mother down the street, grabbed her brother's hand and ran. I didn't believe her for a second, but she and her brother disappeared into the market. I don't know where they've gone, and I don't really care."
"I'm an idiot," Damien sighed. "I actually believe that they lost their parents." You're not an idiot, Kayla said reassuringly. You really mean that? Damien asked.
Really, you're not. You're just gullible.
And a bit of an idiot,
Baudin commented. The conversation went on for a bit longer, but Vala tuned it out, scanning the horizon. Before her stretched open fields with a wide river running quickly across the land. Across it, to her right, was a thick forest which she assumed was their destination. The Frostspire Mountains stood in the distance, covered in thick snow. The peaks of the Harathrun Mountains were just barely visible on the far reaches of the horizon to the northeast. The sky above her was clear, but Vala could see a few clouds gathering above the nearest edges of the Frostspire Mountain range. The skin on the back of her neck prickled, as though she could feel someone's gaze on her, and Vala spun around, spotting a figure in dark clothes perched on a rooftop a few houses away. At first, she thought it was the kid, but she realized the watcher was an adult. Even with her hood back on, the sun's glare kept her from figuring out what race they were, but she suspected he or she was the one who had been following her since the group entered Fethalis. A dull ache welcomed him back to reality, followed by a dim light. His ears rang as he sat up. It took him longer than it should have to realize he wasn't strapped to the table anymore. He looked around the room, trying to remember what had happened. It was small, empty, and poorly lit. The walls and ceiling were made from smooth, dark stone. He was sitting on a thin mat in the corner of the room, directly across from a black metal door. He looked down at his hands, remembering the black crystal that had trapped him. His hands were covered by clean white bandages, and small, dark, iridescent scales snaked up his arms. Tentatively, he touched them, then ran his hand up his arm, almost scared of what he might find. The scales were thickest on his forearms and his shoulders, thinning and disappearing around his neck. Fear rose in him again, but he choked it down. The crystal was gone, and he had more immediate problems to deal with, like figuring out where he was. He noticed a small puddle of water in the corner of the room, so still that the surface had become a mirror. There was a tiny frog sitting in the corner of it. He walked over and glanced at his reflection, looking for signs of anything else that had been done to him. He was barefoot, wearing a plain white shirt and dark pants, the same clothes he'd been wearing the night he'd been taken. His dark blonde hair was cut short, not quite covering the elvish ears he'd inherited from his mother. At first glance, he appeared normal, but he could tell that his eyes had changed. His pupils had become reptilian slits, and his blue-green irises were now flecked with tiny streaks of gold. His pale skin had turned an ashy white color, but that was probably just from the shock and blood loss. The frog croaked at him. He stepped back. His mind was racing as he tried to process what had happened. He sat back down on the mat and covered his face with his hands, trying to bury the memories of the past few hours and the pain they brought. The door clicked open, and he glanced up just as a rough sack was thrust over his head. He flailed, trying to get it off, but his hands were caught in a firm grip. He was yanked to his feet, and his arms were pulled behind his back. He could tell by the number of hands holding him that there were at least three of them, and he knew calling for help was just as useless as fighting. So he allowed himself to be dragged off to wherever they were taking him. Struggling would only result in more pain.